This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9 with Ali and Paul Anthony. If you'd like to say hello, you can. 0427 Joy 949 or on air at joy.org.au. Ali, we've one of Australia's most experienced and respected chefs here with us. And look, his career, he's been cooking for like 26 years, and that spans over two continents, which is pretty big, isn't it?
It's pretty big. It's a long way to go to cook a meal.
It is. Now, he started out in London's best restaurants. He's owned and managed numerous top restaurants in both London and Sydney, including the Ritz Hotel, Cables, Craig Inn, the Sydney Opera House, the Bluebird. But not only that, for the past 8 years, he's been entertaining Australian audiences with his cooking skills.
Goodness me.
Which would be, I mean, could you imagine us just entertaining Australian audiences on radio? He's cooking, we're on radio. Appearing on TV shows such as Mornings with Carrie Ann on Channel 9, The Today Show, Domestic Blitz, Sunrise, The Morning Show, Sydney Weekender. Please welcome to Joy 94.9, Michael Moore.
Good afternoon, guys.
Look at you looking fit and well.
Oh, yeah, it's good on the outside, not so good on the inside. That's the only trouble.
Now, look, you're ripping it up in the US of A, I hear.
Yeah, I've been in the States the last 3 weeks, launching my first book and also doing sort of pre-publicity for this latest book, Blood Sugar. So it's been an amazing trip, and I've got the perfect accent for America because it's sort of half English, half Australian. So they love people from Australia and love people from England over there. So it was sort of, I'm like a posse, half and half.
If Madonna was in for lunch or Elton John wanted a birthday cake, maybe Joan Collins is in the queue in the cafe or Sean Connery perhaps, these people that I'm sort of mentioning here, that's like a week of your work.
Yeah, look, I built and ran a big restaurant in London called the Bluebird in Chelsea in 95, 96, when London was the hottest place in the world to have a restaurant and the Bluebird was the hottest restaurant in town. So every day, you sort of become blasé about it, but all of these A-list celebrities are sort of rocking around the place asking for no dressing, no cheese, you know, light everything. So that's their big common trait. You know, they don't actually eat very much.
I remember, I'm not sure which radio station it was, could have been Joy. They said, if the Queen ever came to dinner, what would you do? And people were saying, oh, we'd get out our best silverware, we'd do this, we'd do that. And I thought, well, if you want to do that for your own mother, why would you do that for the Queen? Do you treat them any different, these celebrities, when they come in?
Oh, look, really, what they crave is just normal treatment and normal things. But we obviously make sure that they're well looked after. And if some of them, the worst ones are like your B-grade celebrities, the ones that think they're A-grade celebrities. Yeah. They behave terribly and are really demanding. Well, your true stars, you know, they light the room up and they're very comfortable in their own skin and they're great people to serve.
You're a restaurateur, we've covered that, and a celebrity chef. I've seen some YouTube videos of you cooking on
Kerry. Trying to get the Christmas pudding. Did you see the Christmas pudding?
I didn't see the Christmas pudding, but I did see one of you in the States recently where you cut your finger
funny.
You handled it very well. But you're all of those things, and you've currently got a restaurant in Sydney.
Yeah.
This is your second book.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a personal journey or a personal story for you behind why you've created this book.
Fortunately, I'm a young man with a young family, and I'm a diabetic. I'm insulin-dependent diabetic, and about 18 months ago, as a complication of my diabetes, I suffered a major stroke. And like people look at me and go, what? Like, you've just both lifted your head and went, you've had a stroke. But it's true. I had a chronic illness, and as the spin-off from that, I decided to use my skills as a chef and the life that I'm living every day to do something positive and inspire people to eat well and try to treat diabetes with flavour rather than just with medicine.
Okay.
Was that the side effect of having the stroke?
No, the side effects of having the stroke really have been sort of less patience with my kids. But I reckon that's quite a normal thing as they get older. But no, thankfully, I'm fully recovered and have very little or no side effects at all from the stroke. But for a while there, I was in intensive care and in a really bad way. You know, I was told by the doctors, you're going to have to change your life. You're not going to be able to keep your business. Life has changed. And I found that a very strong motivational thing to get up and do something positive about it. And here I am.
What's it like now getting in front of a TV camera and cooking? Is it any different to just cooking in your kitchen, or are you a bit more I mean, you have to be more flamboyant. Oh, look,
you have to be focused on the camera. You have to be relaxed. You have to make sure that you're communicating and getting the information across. But I've done probably 400 live TV segments. So when I was in the States, we traveled all the way to America to do this morning show in Las Vegas. And the first thing I did was pick up the first knife. First cut, I cut my finger on live TV, and you know, I take blood thinners and I bleed a lot, you know. So I just handled it in the right way, and I said, you know, like I'm now the one-armed chef from Australia. You're gonna, and I got the hosts to actually cook the dish. But you know, when you've done 300 or 400 live TV segments, it's like radio. It's those little moments that actually make it exciting.
We talked about you having diabetes. I thought I might share something personal with you. My dad died at the age of 54, and I thought, you know what, I've got till 54. Then last year, my brother had a really severe stroke. So I'm sitting here looking at you thinking you're a very lucky man considering what happened to my brother and my family. That happened at age 50. Recently got a phone call from my brother the other day saying, and because I got three brothers and they're a lot older than I am, one's 48 and one's 50, and so the one that had the stroke's now 52. Both the ones that are 50 and 48 have now told me that they've both got diabetes.
Wow.
And so now they're telling me that I should go off and sort of get checked.
You need to take care of yourself, because these things, you know, strokes aren't necessarily hereditary, but certainly diabetes has a strong potential to be hereditary. You know, and the thing is, like, you're a fit, slim guy, you know, and that's the thing, is people don't, thanks for that, he says. No, but you are, if people said you're pre-diabetic or you're, you know, going to be diabetic, you're not the normal sort of person. But sometimes what's going on in the inside to what it looks like on the outside, you know, I look like a fit, healthy, slim guy, and I'm active, and I run and I cycle and I do all that sort of stuff, but I do suffer this major life-threatening illness, you know, and you deal with it every single day.
And just on that, you're a really busy man. You, how do you balance a family, being a celebrity chef, your businesses, and your health in all of that?
That's a really good question, because that's really part of the driver for writing Blood Sugar. I sort of feel that I was living on a very strict diet that the doctors and the dietitians and all the scientists put out, and I still had the complication of a stroke and bad illness, and I felt let down by that side of the industry, saying, well, what more do you want me to do? I've ended up with a bad result. So I've got this philosophy that if you can get people to live on a diet that is driven by flavour and food that you can share with your friends, you're more likely to stay on that diet, and I think ultimately the diet will be more successful. So that's really sort of what's driving me along.
And I have to say, it's a beautifully presented book. Blood Sugar is an absolutely stunning hardcover book. How much work goes into creating something that amazing?
Yeah, a fair amount of work. Actually, creating the recipes is easy. I could probably write 20 recipes. There's about 100 recipes in a book. I could probably write about 20 recipes out of my head in the next 5 minutes. But the actual compiling the recipe, proofreading, the photography, all of that sort of stuff takes a long time. I was determined that the book looked like a gift, because I think that the idea is to give some relief to your friends and your family and people to say, you're a diabetic, but it's not the end of the world. Here's a bit of joy in your life.
Yeah. And is it the same in this book as your first cookbook, that you've got the easy home version and then the beautiful chef-worthy version?
No, I'd say in this book, they're all at the easier level. Whilst the book looks like a high-end cookbook, the actual recipes are pretty much everyday, day-to-day recipes with a twist. All of the ingredients used in the book are readily available everywhere. You're not going traipsing off to special food markets and health food shops to find key ingredients. Most of the ingredients are available in all the supermarkets. And it's just to get people eating great food on an everyday basis.
When you're a cop, you tend to have a lot of cop friends. When you're a musician, you tend to have a lot of musical artist friends. Now, you're a friend of Curtis Stone.
Yeah, Curtis wrote the foreword in the book for me there. Look, when I had my stroke about, it would have been sort of 15, 16 months ago, nearly every chef that I know, and you're right, I know a lot of chefs, they all went and had medicals, because they're all looking at me saying, if that's happened to him, what's going to happen to me, sort of thing. So look, it's great to have a friend like Curtis, and obviously launching that book into America, it helps a lot Curtis is a big star over there, and people love him. So, yeah, it doesn't hurt. Commercially, it doesn't hurt to have his pretty face in the front of the book.
Michael, we're about to let you go, but before we do that, a couple of questions have come in, and then I want to get back to the book. Kevin, who says, hi, Michael. He works with adults with disabilities who have diabetes, and he wants to know if the meals in your book are simple style. He's trying to get these people to cook and eat healthy.
They really are everyday recipes for anyone. If you want to get people to cook with you, there's some great salads in there. There's some great soup recipes in there. There's even a lemon chicken schnitzel sandwich. And it's really everyday food with a chef's twist, if you like. All of it's tasty and all of it's healthy. So, yes, it's definitely, I think it's easy to do, but then I would say that.
The thing I like about this book, and like Ali said, it's presented amazingly. When you get told that you've got some type of illness or that you're sick, you can't have cheese, you can't have this, you can't have that, there's all these things that you're not supposed to have. You open up this book, and I think I've just put on 5 kilos just looking at some of the food in here. Not that I want to be a diabetic, but if this food was only for diabetics, my God, some of it just looks beautiful, doesn't it? I could just eat it out off the page. Ali?
That was really my plan in the book, was that you'd look through the book and you'd say, oh, that's a great book, I'd love to cook recipes from that, or I'm inspired to cook recipes from that book. And at the end of the day, it's they're healthy as well. So, you know, it really is a break away from the traditional diet book that's on the shelves or the health book that's on the shelves. And it really is, the recipes are created for flavour rather than just for medicinal purposes.
That's wonderful. And we're talking to Chef Michael Moore about his new book, Blood Sugar. We've had a message in from Nicholas. Nicholas says, is your guest really a chef? He hasn't sworn once. So is it true? Is it really true?
Do you know
really
how
true?
Hard it is to be on radio and not swear? You know, that is it is a challenge. But in a professional kitchen like any other workplace, you know, there's plenty of bad language, and obviously speaking to all of your wonderful listeners, I'm not going to use that language, and just but make sure you buy my book.
He makes a mention of Gordon Ramsay, someone else that you've known for a very long time.
I've known Gordon since before he was famous. We've been mates for 25 years, you know, and I'd say that, but Gordon always thought he was famous and acted that way long before he was. But look, Gordon's an amazing chef and a great mate, and he polarizes people, but I think that's sort of anyone that's sort of a leader in their field or whatever often does that. So
anyone that's worked in some type of restaurant would know that sometimes, you know, the chefs get a little bit hot-headed, a lot of words flying. Is that just the culture of being a chef?
When you work in a professional kitchen, a dish that you cook is probably perfect for about 15 seconds, and then it goes to the customer, and you hope you can get it to the customer in that time. So the pressure to get all of those components cooked perfectly, hot and ready to go at the same time, there's not a lot of margin for error. So there's not a lot of time for please and thank you and, you know, finding out if someone's got some problems at home. Really, you just want it done properly.
You're very good evidence, and this book is very good evidence, that life is not over when you become a diabetic or you find out that you're a diabetic. What can you say to anyone who's just found out, they're just being diagnosed, or perhaps their kids have got it?
It's a chronic illness. It never goes away. It's with you 24/7, and there isn't a lot of great news around diabetes. So try to find some joy in your life, and certainly don't ignore it. You know, work hard at eating well, do some exercise, and don't turn your back on it, because it will turn around and bite you on the bum.
When do you head overseas?
I'm going back to the States in November for the official launch in New York of this book. Because it's got an Australian flavour to it, the Americans love the Aussies, and Curtis is going to do some stuff for me over there. So it's going to be fun. So November, I'll head back that way.
When you get over to the screens over there, can you give a shout out to Joy 94.9?
I will, yes. Of course I will. Yes, I'll give you a big wave.
Great. Thank you very much, Chef Michael Moore.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.